Welcome to another Marvel podcast. My name is Drew Gretsch, and today we are reviewing Marvel's Daredevil Season 1, the complete season, episodes 1 through 13. It's going to be full spoilers for all of Daredevil Season 1. I'm not going to talk about stuff for Seasons 2 or 3. I'm not going to go in spoilers for any of the other Netflix shows because I know that spoilers for No Way Home. After we saw Matt Murdock in No Way Home, after we saw Wilson Fisk in the Hawkeye finale, a lot of people are going back through, and they're giving Daredevil a shot. It's, a couple weeks back, it was the number 10, because Netflix has their, they have their, like, top 10 shows, you know? I think about 2 weeks ago, it was the number 10 TV show in the U.S. on Netflix, was Marvel's Daredevil. People are going through, they're giving it a shot. I love that. I really love that people are, you know, it's 7 years old now. The show is 7 years old in April. I've always loved this show. So now we're going to be going through just this full season. So if any of you guys listen to Tusken Radio, my Star Wars podcast, and have listened to when I was going through the Clone Wars and Rebels and Resistance, the animated shows, this is going to be very similar to how we did that, which is, with those, we broke them up into half seasons, because it was 22 episodes, but because these are just 13, and there are other things we want to do in the podcast, we're just doing them full season at a time. So it's going to be Daredevil Season 1 this week. Next week will either be Season 2, or we're going to do Deadpool. It's going to be one of the two things, one of those two, but yeah. We're going to be doing Daredevil. We'll be doing The Defenders also. So after you watch, so after we cover Season 2 Daredevil, we're going to do The Defenders Season 1, which is their big Avenger-style crossover. We will go through and do the other Netflix shows, but we're going to start with the Daredevil stuff since it seems like that's going to be integrated first. I mean, the integration's already begun because we've seen him in No Way Home. We've seen Kingpin in Hawkeye. So yeah, so the episodes we are talking about today, Episode 1, Into the Ring, Episode 2, Cut Man. Episode 3, Rabbit in a Snowstorm. Episode 4, In the Blood. Episode 5, World on Fire. Episode 6, Condemned. Episode 7, Stick. Episode 8, Shadows in the Glass. Episode 9, Speak of the Devil. Episode 10, Nelson v. Murdoch. Episode 11, The Path of the Righteous. Episode 12, The Ones We Leave Behind. And Episode 13, the season finale, Daredevil. So we're going to just... It's going to be smaller reviews of each episode. We'll talk a bit about each episode there. I did go through and I took a couple of notes on each episode as I was going through it. I've got, so it ranges from like the first episode, episode one, I have 2 notes. The finale, I got 14 notes. So there are a lot of things we are going to talk about. First off, this is, if you've never seen the show, I've said it before, I've said it again. Marvel's Daredevil is the pinnacle of superhero storytelling on television. I will forever stand by that. I think a close second is The Boys on Amazon Prime Video, which, by the way, Season 3 is coming out on June 3rd. Cannot wait for that. You know, if The Boys has a great third season, that may have me reconsider a bit. But as of right now, and I mean until June, I mean, oh, it's weekly, so until July 8th, when The Boys Season 3 finale is out, it's going to be Daredevil. It's going to be Daredevil for at least the next 6 months. So, yeah, this show is wonderful. This show is absolutely wonderful. I feel like you guys kind of know what it's about, I guess, but I mean, if not... So, if you've never seen the show, but you've seen No Way Home, if you remember the lawyer that visited Peter and May and Happy, you know, the guy was like, who caught the breaking, he's like, I'm a really good lawyer. That was Matt Murdock, played by Charlie Cox from the Netflix shows. He is the second character, I mean, second or third, depending on how you want to look at it, because of how we met Kingpin in Hawkeye Episode 5. But he's in the first 3 characters who were introduced in a show from Marvel Television, not Marvel Studios, but from Marvel Television, from like the shows before WandaVision. He's the second or third character. Second to have lines, third to be referenced. Because Hawk episode 5, where it was like, that's Kingpin. It was like the day before. But we'll say third because Kingpin had... He showed up at the beginning of Hawk episode 3, but we didn't know who it was at the time. So, you know, second one was Kingpin. Third was Daredevil. First one was actually back in Avengers Endgame. If you guys remember when Tony and Steve go back to 1970 to New Jersey to the military base, the butler at Howard Stark's car is Jarvis. Jarvis there is played by James Darcy, reprising his role from Marvel's Agent Carter. We will also be covering Agent Carter. It's 2 seasons. That is on Disney Plus. So both seasons of Agent Carter are on Disney Plus. It's a great show. So we are going to be covering that one as well, probably sometime this summer. But yeah. And then of course there was, this is technically from Marvel Studios, so I wouldn't count it for Marvel Television, but Marvel Studios, remember in Black Widow, we saw Val. So what I like is that they're starting to set this precedent of characters from not just the Disney Plus shows, but from the Jeff Loeb era of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and the Defenders series on Netflix. Really love that. I really love that. It just gives us a much greater sense of the continuity in this universe that we're finally being given, you know, because there were those of us who have been there since September 2013 when Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. first premiered on ABC. And we were told, hashtag it's all connected. For a while, it was. And then, you know, things started to become separate. And even I was like, yeah, It's not canon. And especially because we had Loki, it was like, it's a multiverse. It is a multiverse. So, yeah. We were always going to cover the shows, but because of what's happening in the movies and what we're about to see in She-Hulk, hopefully. And you guys only know about She-Hulk and Echo. I know about a couple more things where Charlie Cox is going to show up as Matt Murdock. I've heard about a few more things. He's going to show up somewhere. Comics fans are going to know. But if you haven't read the comics or know that much about Daredevil, might be a bit of a shocker when you see this person. If it's not revealed in a trailer. But let's just get right into it. Let's just get right into talking about season one of Daredevil. So starting off with episode one, the pilot, Into the Ring. This is such a well-shot show. This show is so incredibly well-shot. One thing that really shocked me when I was doing my research was I looked up the budget for season one. $54 million to produce, I don't like to say this, but a 13-hour movie. Because I really don't like to... Because that's my biggest problem with some of the Marvel Netflix shows. And it's not really all that big of a problem in Daredevil, but Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, The Punisher, Iron Fist especially. Actually, no, it's mostly Jessica Jones that has this problem, but it's a 13-hour movie. It's not a TV season, it's a 13-hour movie, and something I'm really happy that it seems like Disney Plus shows have really sort of, you know, gotten away from. They're much more episodic, and I love that a whole lot. And this show is episodic. But the budget was $54 million. Hawkeye's budget, which is half the episodes, it's 6, and this is 13, has 3 times the budget. And, I mean, I don't think I'm alone. You guys know I'm not the biggest fan of the Hawkeye series. I'm not the biggest fan of it. I think it's okay. I'm not the biggest fan, but I'm starting my rewatch of it tomorrow. So we'll see how that, we'll see how it shakes out after I've been able to go back and rewatch the whole show now. But this is a much better, this is a much better made series than Hawkeye. I'd say also The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I did just rewatch this weekend. I think that show is so underrated, by the way. I think that Falcon and the Winter Soldier is great. I'd say it's a better show than Loki and What If. I'd even say this is a better show than WandaVision. But the point is, it's just so much better made. It's a much better made series. And one thing I did like about it a whole lot that the Disney Plus shows have not done, and I don't want to make this whole thing be about Disney Plus versus Netflix, because that's not what I want to do here. But in all four shows, and I guess What If also, in all five of the Disney Plus series, we've not known who the villain was until the very end. Now, What If is different because it's an anthology and then they all come together, so I'll leave that one out of the table. That one's fine. WandaVision, that worked. Worked in WandaVision for us to not know that Agatha was behind the whole thing. Well, not behind the whole thing, but took advantage of it and manipulated it until the very end of the series. That is totally fine. But then with Falcon and Winter Soldier, the power broker is not all that important. I think had they revealed that in episode 3, it would have, you know, that would have been fine. It would not have had, it would have had the same impact on the show. If anything, would have made it more interesting, because I don't need mystery box with the villains. I think it's important for the villains, for the heroes to know who they're fighting, and for us as the audience to know, like, who is our antagonist? Who are we fighting against in the story? We didn't meet Kang until the very end. It's hard for me to talk badly about Loki, but it's just like, it gets repetitive. It really does get quite repetitive when it's the same storytelling technique. And then when we got Kingpin at the end of Hawkeye, I don't think that was necessary. I don't think it was necessary, aside from the reveal of, oh my god, the Netflix stuff has come back. But from a storytelling purpose, I don't think we needed, I don't think it's important to keep having this mystery box stuff with who's the villain. We should know who the villain is. No? Like, reveal that if it's 6 episodes in the first one. Now, we really did not see Fisk until the end of episode 3. But you just feel his presence there. You feel his presence there so much in the first 2 episodes. And I cannot praise this show enough on its character work. It is unmatched. The character work in Daredevil is unmatched. And we'll get into that later on. But in the first 2 scenes, in the first 2 scenes of the series, you know exactly who Matt Murdock is. Because you have the first scene where it's the accident. And it's setting up, why is he blind? Okay? So that's the hero part of him. And then we get the main titles, which, by the way, the main titles for this show are great. The main titles are great. I love the main theme. I think it's awesome. I really hope that they keep that as his theme for when he comes back in Disney Plus things in a couple months. But then we get to see him in the confessional. I think that the relationship that we see between Matt and the priest, I think that's one of the strongest parts of this entire first season. I don't remember if it comes back all that much in seasons 2 or 3. But at least in season 1, it's perfect. It's really great because we see that Matt has, what I think happened, and I'm not, and this is going into speculation here, because again, it's been a long time since I've seen seasons 2 or 3, but Matt is looking for a new father figure after Stick. And I thought the Stick episode was really good. I really enjoyed the Stick episode, but we'll get more into that later on. But having him just look for a new father figure in the church. And I know there are, and I'm Catholic, but there are a lot of there's a lot of, I guess, stigma about the Catholic Church right now and the ways that they've done things that priests have done to kids like Matt Murdock. But, you know, it's just something that we get to see here in this show, a priest who does what he's supposed to do, a priest who fulfills the oath that he takes with God. And I don't remember if any of that stuff had really come out before this series premiered. If it had, I think it's really great that they decided to take this approach to it. And even in hindsight, I think it's wonderful. But it's just a great introduction to Matt Murdock. And the guys that Fisk has in this show, these guys are scary. They're so much scarier than bro, let's go, bro. Come on, bro. Like, you know, my theory now is that, no, it's been about 7 years between Daredevil season 3 and Hawkeye. Okay. About 7 years, give or take a few, but there's enough time there for Fisk to have changed a whole lot. You know, I think it's possible that maybe Fisk got his hands on some of the serum that the Flag Smashers had in Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think it's very, very possible that maybe enhanced some of his abilities a bit more. But he's also very strong. And maybe just the fact that he's working with the Tracksuit Mafia in Hawkeye is because, you know, it's all he could get. It's the only people that he could get to do it all, I guess. So moving in episode 2 now, I really love every single scene with Jack. He's rough around the edges, but he's a great father. He lets Matt touch the cuts on his face because he wants Matt to see what he's become. He wants Matt to see with his hands that there's a cost there. That there's a cost. And, you know, the MCU has this stigma of just bad parenting, and really it's like Clint Barton is the only good one. And when you really think about it, like, as good of a father as Scott Lang is when he's there, he's been in prison or in the quantum realm for most of Cassie's life. So, there's really none others that I can think of right now, just Jack Murdock is the best dad in the MCU. It's Tony Stark, but we didn't really see all that much of Tony Stark as a dad, so we really can't count that. Rosario Dawson as Claire Temple is great. It's really great. She plays this part so well. For those of you who have seen all the Netflix shows, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who this is your first foray into it, that's great. She's going to do a lot of really great things moving forward in Iron Fist, in Luke Cage, and she's the one who brings all the Defenders together. The hallway fight at the end of this episode is absolutely wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Here's another thing. In going through this, right after binging every Spider-Man movie in the run-up to No Way Home, I noticed something that's really cool about sort of the differences there between Spider-Man and Daredevil. Both heroes who have very strict moral codes where they don't kill people. But with Daredevil, you're really not all that sure. You're really not all that sure if he's going to kill someone or not. And it's so cool because you just got to keep reminding yourself that he doesn't kill people. He does not kill people. And I think it's really interesting in of how they present that in the series, where he goes so far in a lot of places, and he scares the criminals a lot. But we're Spider-Man. I remember this one scene in Homecoming, where he first unlocks Karen, and she's like activating instant kill, and he goes, no, I don't want to kill anybody. So yeah, just juxtaposing that, and I really hope that that's a route they go in Spider-Man 4. Yeah, we'll talk about all the Spider-Man 4 theories at the end of the Daredevil season 3 discussion, after we've talked about the entire story of Matt Murdock. The last thing is Matt takes off his mask to see the kid. We see, and Fisk brings this up later on in the season, is that he has a soft spot for kids and women. And I assume that extends it to the elderly. It reminded me a lot of that scene in the first Amazing Spider-Man movie, where Peter's on the bridge, and the other kid, he's saving a kid from a burning car named Jack. And Peter pulls off the mask, and he throws it to Jack, and he's like, put it on. It'll make you strong. And of course, it's not the same thing here, but it's just going through this and seeing how similar Daredevil and Spider-Man are, but yet so different. I really hope we get to see a team up somewhere down the road of the two of them in live action, or hey, maybe it'll be in the freshman year animated series, and that'd be so cool. So episode 3 now. another little jab at Hawkeye here. Did you guys see how quickly the police got to that bowling alley? Because one of my big problems with the Hawkeye finale is that you have hundreds of Russians shooting up Rockefeller Center on New Year's Eve, and it takes 20 minutes for the police to get there. The police were at this bowling alley in about 2 minutes. That's all I'm going to say, because this is great. Hawkeye was not all that great. That's all I'm going to say about that. We finally got to see Matt in a courtroom, and it was awesome. And this is where we really get to see the power that Wilson Fisk holds. Because this guy, after he's acquitted, I think he was acquitted at least, but he told Daredevil Fisk's name, he killed himself. We were like, oh my god. Fisk means business. Fisk means business. And then we see him, and we're just immediately introduced to the greatest villain in anything Marvel related, in Daredevil's Kingpin. So going into episode 4 now, Fisk is super awkward with Vanessa, and I love that a whole lot, and this is something that the show tells us a lot, is that he has a lot of social awkwardness, and it gives us a sense of humanity regarding Kingpin in ways that a lot of other Marvel-related properties don't. They show the villain as the villain. And Daredevil was really the first one to give a villain more light, because it was before Killmonger. It was before the Vulture. It was before Thanos. So it's just something I love a whole lot with how they've done, with how they did Fisk in the show. Foggy's Butcher Shop, I love that running joke so much. I think it's really, really great. You know, my mom wanted me to be a butcher. I think it's mostly so that she could get free ham. Like, I love that so much. I think it's really, really funny. Claire with the baseball bat. When Claire gets kidnapped, by the Russians. She, like, my God, may or may not have canceled a subscription to Life for one of the Russians with the baseball bat. That was crazy. And then Fisk in the car door. Because in the first three episodes, we've seen Fisk just be this presence. He's this presence. We don't see him, but we already fear him. And then we meet him. And we're like, oh, maybe this guy is not all that bad. And then he just crushes a dude's head in a car door. And it's like, oh, no. Yeah, this guy's bad news. This guy's bad news. So the way they've developed this villain is incredible. I love it a whole lot. I love that Foggy can speak Punjabi. That's what it's called, right? Yeah, Punjabi. I thought that was so funny. That was so funny. Just how that comes back again toward the end of the season. Vanessa's just as smart as Fisk is. I love that. I don't remember the context of this scene. I believe this was during the dinner. Their dinner date after he beheaded the dude at the car door. And he somehow got the second date. I don't know how. And she just exposes him. And she knows exactly who he is immediately. And I think it's really... I thought that was just so cool to see. And then Fisk sets the world on fire. Fisk just bombs the hell out of Hell's Kitchen. And all the cops are corrupt. That's something we'll talk a lot more about later on. That was so funny that, like, Matt and Vlad were working together. I thought that the last scene in episode 6 was great. Where you got Vladimir, just, like, shooting down all of Fisk's cops. And then you got the man in the mask, Daredevil, just getting out of there. And it looked so beautifully shot. Foggy and Karen met Claire. They have no idea, though. Just a little, like, little conversation. We also get Matt's first conversation with Fisk on the phone. It's great. It's really great, just... And then Fisk says, not everyone deserves a happy ending. That comes back in the finale. And then a war is coming at the end of this episode. So getting into episode 7 now. Stick's introduction is really great because we get to see someone who we can assume at the end of that first scene that he's met and probably helped to train Matt Murdock. And of course, that is revealed. But we see their methods are very different. So it's just so cool to see that there. Because it's usually the apprentice has gone down the dark path. It's a big thing in Star Wars. It's a big thing in... it's a big part of Doctor Strange. So many other things. I was in Harry Potter... But here it's the opposite, where the apprentice saw what the master was doing was wrong. Well, not really, but, you know, we just see that what Matt learned from his father and from the church really did cement in him that moral code that he carries throughout all three seasons of Daredevil and The Defenders. And then we get a real sense here of what Matt's abilities here truly are. And I thought it was so just awesome to see that. He was just like, he could pick up that the dog was hungry. He could pick up that sort of how old the ice cream was. I thought that was awesome. And I really want Stick to meet Kate Bishop because they both got the archery thing going on. Episode 8. Cufflinks, of course, those the same cufflinks that Kate sort of snapped because she did the coin snapping thing at Fisk in the finale of Hawkeye. Here are the cufflinks. the mirror. That mirror scene was so cool. That mirror scene was... That was intense. And the flashbacks in this episode truly did, for me, solidify him as the greatest MCU villain, tied with Killmonger. Foggy, I love Foggy so much. He has a line in this episode where he just goes, "I like to think of myself as foolhardily provocative." It's a great line. Matt, when there's a scene where Matt and Karen and Foggy are having a meeting at Nelson Murdoch, and Matt walks through the door, but then he feels for the door frame as an afterthought. He feels for the door frame as an afterthought because he's like, oh, because everything that he does as a blind man, it's all an act. Matt really could pass as a seeing man. He has his eyesight there. But, you know, and there's a line in a later episode. No one looks twice at a blind man. So, it's just something that I think it's so cool that we just got to see, like, he feels for it as an afterthought. And you guys can see that in the episode. It's in episode 8. It's in the first scene where Karen and Foggy and Matt are all at the office. You can see that. I don't have an exact time code, but it's in there, and it's a cool little detail that they have. I have a line here, or a note here, that just says corruption. Oh, no, because it's regarding the hospital scene, where, what was the cop's name? The partners. It was, Blake and Hoffman, where Hoffman kills his partner. And that was something that I thought was actually super cool. Yeah, I know, that's shocking. Like, I thought that just... And the way that he then regrets it later on, and we just see how much power Fisk holds, where he's able to... Where he's like, "You'll kill your best friend." And it's like... You just, every episode just solidifies again and again and again that Fisk ain't playing. He doesn't play. You do what you're supposed to do, or you die. Ben's speech at the end of this episode. Let's see if I can pull it up on IMDb. Cause I got chills during Ben's speech at the end of this episode. At the end of Shadows and Glass. And we get to see just Fisk. Everything that Fisk does in the flashbacks, just keep kicking him, keep kicking him, keep kicking him. Man, that was... It's emotional. It's emotional. So, I pulled up the monologue here, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it justice, but here you go. "You get what you deserve. It's an old saying. One that survived the years because it's true. For the most part, but not for everyone. Some get more than they deserve. Because they believe they aren't like everyone else. That the rules, the ones people like me and you, the people that work and struggle to live our lives, just live, don't apply to them. They can do anything and live happily ever after, while the rest of us suffer. They do this from the shadows. Shadows that we cast with our indifference, with the pervasive lack of interest in anything that doesn't directly affect us, we in the here and now. Or maybe it's just the shadow of weariness, of how tired we are, struggling to claw our way back to a middle class that no longer exists. Because of those who take more than they deserve, and they keep talking, until all that's left for us is the memory of how it used to be before the corporations and the bottom line decided we didn't matter anymore. But we do. You and I, the people of the city, we still matter. There's someone in Hell's Kitchen that doesn't share this belief. He's been among us for quite some time. You never heard his name. You've never seen his face. He stayed in the shadows. Because men like him, men that want to control our city, our lives, fear the light and what it reveals. This man must no longer be allowed to operate in the darkness. If he has nothing to hide, let him step forward. And then he steps forward. And then Fisk immediately goes and makes his whole speech. I'm not going to read it because that was a lot. But yeah, it was just awesome. That speech from Yurik gave me chills. It gave me chills. So going in episode 9 now. The father's story is fascinating. It's fascinating where he talks about the where he talks about the village and the warlord, and none of the soldiers wanted to kill the holy man. But then the warlord came out, he hacked him to pieces, and his entire family. So that was so cool. That was such a great story. That was so interesting. Then here's a line: "Donde está la biblioteca?" Which is a line from Deadpool. You guys might know him. So here we are going to play this line from Deadpool. A bit of an NSFW clip, but here we go. Hang on, is he going to play?
"Donde está la biblioteca?"
Here it is.
Which literally translates to, "I don't bargain, pumpkin fucker."
So whenever I hear that line in anything, that's all I think of, especially because it's Marvel. I think it's funny. So, yeah. Then there's Matt meets Fisk face to face. When he visits Vanessa, I thought that was awesome. Whenever Matt puts on the suit, he does the sign of the cross. I thought that was so... I just think that's a genius. Because, like, of course he does. He's about to... He's about to go against God's will. Or he's about to enforce what he believes to be God's will in the most brutal yet merciful way possible. And I really love the way that this episode was all laid out with the flashbacks. And, you know, we just got these little chapters in between the battle with Nobu. I thought that was super, super interesting there. And then Foggy finds out at the very end. So episode 10 then, Nelson v. Murdoch, is very much just like, here, let's take a step back. Let's take a step back. It's been a bit crazy. Let's just go back now and focus on the relationship between Matt and Foggy. And they did that. We got to see how they met. It's great. It was so, so great. I don't have that much to say about this episode. Except for Matt's first assignment. Man, like that. That is not something that would be in the MCU. That is so incredibly real world. Oh my god. It is. I had no words for it. All I have to do is just draw attention to the fact that how... It feels weird to say because Matt is a hero. And he never kills. But he has that taste for blood, for vengeance. He loves just doing the right thing and going as far as he possibly can because he has so much rage in him. He has so much rage. And I just think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating. Just the character study you can do on Matt Murdock. On every piece of him, on the lawyer, on Daredevil. It's great. Karen tracks down Fisk's mother. I think that's a great great scene. Love that a whole lot. Episode 11 now. Matt's monkey balloon that he got from, I believe that was from Karen, right? Yeah, from Karen. It's great. I always love Matt's talks with the priest. And I believe this was a line here from the father. Let's just, check. I need to be here real quick. Let's see if I can find it. If it's been posted in, here it is. Yeah, it is from Father Lantham. I don't, but nothing drives people to church faster than the thought of the devil snapping at their heels. And maybe that's what God's plan was all along, why he created him and allowed him to fall from grace to become a symbol, to be feared, warning to us all to tread the path of the righteous. Just, it's the writing. The writing in the series is superb. It's truly superb. It's incredible. I have no negatives about this entire first season. No negatives whatsoever. We meet the armorer Melvin. I think that's an interesting character. Because we just see that Fisk takes control and manipulates everyone. Just everybody. And it's really sad. It's really sad. And then Karen kills Wesley. So my dad is watching the show for me for his first time. It's my second time. It's his first time. And I really wish I got that the moment where Karen killed Wesley on video. Because his reaction to it was great. It was great. It was not as big as one of those, like, No Way Home moments. But it was still great. Just, like, see that through his eyes. And I knew what was coming. So going in now in episode 12, now the penultimate one. Starting off with an Easter egg, the business across from Nelson and Murdoch is Atlas, which is the company that would eventually become Marvel Comics. I think that's great. Matt has another conversation with Ben, and you can really feel the difference in his voice because he talks like this the Batman way when he's talking to Fisk's guys. But then when he's talking to Ben or to Karen or anyone, Daredevil has a voice like this. So you have the difference there, and I think that's really important to the character. Fisk was speaking with his mother in the car, and again, it's adding more and more layers to Wilson Fisk. Just making us care about him more and more, and it's shocking they can do it that much and have it be that perfect. Truly. So Madame Gao can fight pretty well. And her homeland is further than China. That's something that, for those of you guys who are going to veer off the path a bit from our Daredevil rewatch and do everything. Like, you'll do Jessica Jones season 1 and then Daredevil season 2. Instead of just Daredevil season 2. When you guys get to Iron Fist, you're going to learn a lot more about Madame Gao. And it really is quite interesting, from what I remember. Iron Fist is also not as bad as a lot of people give it credit for. It is by no means the best of the Marvel Netflix shows. It is the weakest, but it still has good parts. But I don't know. We'll see how I feel when I go back and rewatch it. I should probably say that there are differences. That was a bad way to put it. You do not watch these shows by show. You do it by season, much like the films. So I'm assuming if you guys are this far in, it's Daredevil season 1. So it's Daredevil season 1. You guys should write this down. And then Jessica Jones season 1. And then you got Daredevil season 2. Luke Cage season 1. Iron Fist season 1. The Defenders miniseries. So that's just one season. The Punisher season 1. Jessica Jones season 2. Luke Cage season 2. Iron Fist season 2. Daredevil season 3. The Punisher season 2. And then it all ends in Jessica Jones season 3. So yeah, so that is the correct order to watch them all in. We're not going to do that for the rewatch because it takes way too long. And we have other things we really want to do on the podcast before Multiverse Madness comes out. So we'll do all the shows. It's just not going to be in order. We are going to do them in order just after. We'll do Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist in that order because those three shows are much more interconnected than Daredevil is. So, yeah. Then Ben's death, which is so sad. It's so sad when Ben dies. I thought... And he was about to expose Fisk. He's about to expose Fisk. And then he doesn't get the chance to. And I think it's just... It's so sad because he is such a good person. He's a good person. I always think it's sad when good people die. Like, especially, like, even in movies and TV. There is just something utterly heart-wrenching about watching a good person die. For doing the right thing. So, yeah. Here we go. Episode 13, the finale. Start off with Ben's funeral, man. It's hard. Leland is an idiot. Why would he ever tell Fisk? Why? I just think that's not smart. But he did, and then he died for it. We only ever hear about Matt's encounter with Ellison. Of course, later on, we learn that Ellison was not Fisk's guy. That was the receptionist, Calloway, who was working with Fisk, not Ellison. But something I really love about the show is that there are things that we don't see. Like, in episode 2, Matt mentions his first attempt to rescue the kid from the Russians. We don't see that, but we hear about it, and it makes the world feel so much more lived in. It's like, yeah, we don't need to see that. We can just explain it. He lost. We see the end result there. So, yeah. Mahoney says, not even yours. So, when they're talking about how Gao's operations were destroyed, Mahoney says, we couldn't pull any prints, not even yours. Was this just lazy writing? I'm checking IMDb again to see it, to just check the trivia for the season 1 finale, just to see if it was mentioned. It's not there. Let's see. Let's see if it's in the quotes, because if it's in the quotes, sorry guys, I'm just trying to find this. Okay. Nope, not there. No, I don't think it's here. Alright, whatever, it's not important, but he just says, not even yours, so Matt wasn't there. Or maybe he just misheard, so that could be, that's probably what that is, since no one's ever brought it up, so, yeah. Foggy's Matt's guy in the chair. I think that's really funny, just juxtaposing Foggy with Ned and how they're essentially the exact same person. Fisk's Enterprise being shut down is such a great scene. It's pulled straight out of The Godfather. And I think it's just so great. It's just such a... It's It's unironically funny. It is ironically funny. So I think that's super interesting how they decided to go with that. Because it's like the biggest little bit of comedy they've done in this show. Other than stuff with Foggy. Because what I do really like about this show is the MCU has become just like everyone's the quipster. Everyone makes jokes. This show is just Foggy. It's just Foggy. But this scene was just really funny, and I really enjoyed it a whole lot. The scene where all of Fisk's operations are shut down. The Good Samaritan story I thought was so cool. That was so cool. We see the suit. It's so awesome. The suit is so awesome. Vanessa waited for Fisk to put on the ring. I thought that was super interesting. Just she waited for him to wear it for the first time. And then everything, it's a happy ending then. Everyone's all good. So, yeah, guys, Daredevil Season 1 is perfect. It's perfect, guys. What is the Rotten Tomatoes for this show? I think it's pretty high. Daredevil Season 1. Rotten Tomatoes. It really is quite high. 99% from the critics with a 92% audience rating. That's awesome. I believe season 2 is a bit lower, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, season 2 is then an 81, and season 3 is a 97. So yeah, season 3, you guys, is perfect. But that's mostly just because Fisk's not in season 2 a whole lot. But, yeah, that is going to be it, guys, for another Marvel podcast this week. Next week, depending on where I am in Daredevil season 2, if I finish it, we'll be talking about that. If not, we'll be doing a review of the first Deadpool movie. But this Wednesday, Eternals hits Disney Plus. If you've not yet seen it, now is your chance. We will no longer be giving spoiler warnings when we discuss Eternals because the movie is now on Disney Plus. So we will be talking about Eternals in full spoiler fashion. So, yeah. But yeah, that's going to be, so the commentary for that's going to be coming the week after. And then we'll be covering Daredevil season 2, The Defenders, and then season 3. It's going to be so awesome, guys. The show is so good. I cannot wait to start season 2. Go and check out our Twitter at Another Marvel P1. I found a very funny video of Vincent D'Onofrio. So you guys should, go and check that out. I tweeted out, on Sunday morning. So you guys can find that. It is very funny. So check that out, guys. Thank you so, so much for listening. I am Drew Gretsch. What's a good line? Oh yeah. My mom really wanted me to be a butcher.